It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games for the evening. Joining us today is not only Philadelphia's number one beat reporter, Charlie O'Connor, but we also have Broad Street Hockey's own Kelly Hinkle. So before the show starts, Kelly, like right before we go live, Kelly is telling us that there's a guy in Dallas whose whole thing is banging on the glass, and now he's in a Twitter war
with Paul Bissonnette. I've never hated anyone more in my entire life.
And I love this goddamn stupid sport.
What a time to be alive, honestly.
But what I started cracking up is I started thinking about I need to start a Twitter war with Sign Guy.
Yes.
I doubt he has a Twitter.
He 100% has no idea how to log on to the internet.
Signs annoy the hell out of me.
He brings a folder. It's so obnoxious. He's reaching over people's heads. Like, all right.
Maybe that's the thing that bothers me, is that he's in the second row.
Yeah.
Does Sign Guy really bother you? Is this like a thing that annoys you?
A thing.
Yeah. I'm easily annoyable. I know, like, most of the time I'm not little stuff like him.
No, really? Here's the thing about
him. I think he's iconic.
No. The problem is when these guys get to be too much of, like, up their own ass. Like, it was
He's probably the nicest dude in the world.
Is.
Why do you think he's up his own ass? He just holds up signs.
He knows. He brings a folder in. He's got, like, sections in the folder.
He's committed to his craft.
Nah.
Listen, Charlie. I love that Charlie likes him.
There
honestly.
Are a lot of things.
They have to exist in the periphery. They can't be the main character, is what I'm saying.
Honestly, I might start disliking Sign Guy if he had a Twitter presence, because then I would find him annoying. Like I find most people on Twitter annoying. But as long as he's just an IRL person, I would be positively predisposed to liking him.
Charlie likes all the people in the building that don't know
that
who he is.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody has no idea who Charlie O'Connor is.
If you don't follow Charlie on Twitter, he probably likes you.
That is not true. I like the vast majority of my followers. I dislike the ones who are unbelievably annoying.
I hate all of
you. And yell at me because they can't yell at the team, so they yell at the beat writer. Those are the people who annoy me.
Welcome to the Fourth Estate, Charlie. So this is the show today. We're just going to bullshit.
Show,
no, we have some stuff to get to. It's just like Kelly really made me
Sorry.
Laugh before we went live.
And
I had a shit day. Like, Ava had a root canal. I'm still without a car.
Oh,
it
dear.
Was a whole thing getting here today. I showed up like 20 minutes before the show. But that really put me in the mood to talk some hockey.
Remember how we said yes? Was it literally yesterday?
Yeah.
And somebody was like, hey, how are you guys going to have a show every day? And I said, do you remember what team we cover?
So,
it's the Flyers.
Also, have you met us?
They are going to do crazy shit like once every other week, if not more. And then we wake up this morning to the Flyers doing something mildly crazy.
We wake up today.
Shocks.
We wake up today to Danny Briere basically signing 27-year-old backup goalie Ivan Fedotov to the Shea Weber contract.
I know.
Based on the reaction on Twitter, it seemed like it might as well have been the Shea Weber contract people were ticked off.
It is 2 years, $3.25 million average annual value. When I saw it, I was just like, oh no, the reporting has just got screwed up along the way here. Maybe this broke from a Russian source and they missed up total and AAV. All right. No. It's 3.25 per year for 2 years to Ivan Fedotov. He's making more by my count than 11 guys on the roster.
Which again, like you said, you said this on the way up in the elevator, and it's like, well, yeah, a lot of the guys on the roster are on entry level contracts. They're not allowed to get paid that much.
I mean, are they? Are there that many guys?
It speaks to the youth movement, Bill.
I mean, he's making more. Is the youth movement meaning Scott Laughton, Noah Cates, Garnett Hathaway?
Well, those
Morgan
are guys
Frost.
That aren't that good.
Like he's
Fedotov might not be that good either. I guess we'll see.
Say.
So here's my.
He was real good in Russia.
Before we get into the weeds of the Fedotov contract, I want to ask both of you this question because this to me, I think there is a statistical case, and I'll be breaking this down in an article I will have coming out in a few hours on allphly.com for diehards only, so keep an eye out
sign
for
up
that.
Cheapskates.
I have a lot more coming on this that I'm not going to discuss necessarily on the show because I would very much like for you to join diehard
hey,
and learn
thank
this
you.
Stuff. But before we get into the weeds of why I do think you can make a very strong comparable case as to why this was an overpay, here is my question to both of you. Had Ivan Fedotov not played three games this year for the Flyers where he did not look particularly amazing, and then they announced this contract today as a, like, hey, they got Ivan Fedotov over here, shockingly, isn't that cool, without him having been seen by Flyers fans and posting an 8-11 save percentage, would you be mad? Is it just because he played three games when he never should have fucking played in the first place? Because that was always insane. Because he played three games and didn't do that great. Is that why your immediate reaction is, ugh?
No. Because
I feel like that's the impression I get from most fans. They're like, how can you give a guy who sucked in three games that much money? It's like, but that was those games, like, You can't judge him on any of those games.
I mean, for a number of reasons that we have been over, it was like 2 weeks of the show. Check the archives. That would be great if we started getting like some back numbers.
Yeah.
I doubt there's a whole lot of like staying power for these daily shows. But anyway, those games were, I mean, yeah, that first one he came in, that was a ton of fun.
And he was good.
That was
in
a great
game.
Day. That was a tremendous day to be a Flyers fan. It was just cool. But you can't hold those games against him. Now, listen, he was in uniform. He's on the roster. He's part of the team. They needed him. He wasn't that good. But, like, come on. That's not really where and I don't think this is like, oh, fucking Danny Briere, got to get rid of him. Like, I don't think that's what this is. But I'm just looking at this like, could this money have been better allocated, like, I would rather use this money on somehow being a middleman on another contract or something, like to create more assets for this team in the future, because we're being told that this year doesn't matter again. Because, as we discussed when they told us at exit interviews, yeah, it's probably going to be Fedotov and Erson. That's a huge risk. Like, if they both aren't that good, mm-hmm. the season is down the tubes no matter what everyone yeah. else does.
True.
So if this year doesn't really matter, why don't we use that money for something that helps us in the future rather than a goalie who's going to play next year at 28 and might not be that good?
Yeah, but I guess their argument is that this is in large part a future. And I know he's older, but
he's when not, goalies are good, they're going. They're good gonna be, for
they're
fucking.
Good, they're going to be good for a bit. Yeah. They view this as an investment in trying to figure out who could be a long-term goalie solution. That's so in their minds, actually, this is an investment in, like, this is very much in line with the rebuild, because they're looking at it as, we have three goalies who we're hoping that one of those three could be the guy. Sam Harrison, Ivan Fedotov, and Alexei Kolosov. If Fedotov comes over next year in a full season and looks real good, suddenly you're like, well, shit, we got a 6'7" monster of a goalie who could be our starter for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Now, no, not for the next decade, but like, that's honestly pretty rare regardless. They're looking at this as, we're going to use another rebuilding year, number one, as a way to determine whether Harrison or Fedotov are legit. Number two, it gives us the ability to keep Kolosov down in the minors for a year and let him develop at a more normal pace. So I really think that's more of the thought process. Like, the idea that if you want to argue that you would rather pick up an extra fifth round pick as the middleman in a draft rather than take a look at Fedotov, that's certainly an opinion you can have. They're looking at it as, they would rather get a look at Fedotov for the next 2 years and see if he's legit. And that's worth the opportunity cost of, you know, being able to squeeze a fourth or a fifth round pick as a middleman at next year's trade deadline.
Or you take on a bad contract, a Ryan Johansson situation, something like that, in order to up the return on something else. Like, there's not just one thing. But yes, no, for while I don't maybe love the allocation of resources, it your argument that giving Fedotov a look is in line with the rebuild. That does make sense.
Yes.
I just look at this dollar amount and think, man, you could get like a good goalie for that much money. Like, what did Alex Lyon sign for? Like,
what if he is good though?
He might be.
Yeah, he might be. Like, what if he is? Like, what if he's so good that we're looking at 3.25? Like, goddamn, what a bargain. Like, it could
his
happen.
Numbers in Russia last year weren't that great.
I am willing to mostly throw out last year's numbers in the KHL, given the fact that, especially from what I understand, the entire first half of the year, he was severely rusty.
He was really out of shape.
Because he spent the year, I don't think he was out of shape. He was in the military, so he's probably in pretty damn good shape, but he was out of hockey shape.
He wasn't in hockey goalie shape.
Yes.
I'm sure the Russian military, you're in pretty fucking good shape.
You would think, right?
Or they just pump you full of something so you feel like you're in great shape.
Yeah.
But my understanding is he was very rusty in the first half of the year, so I'm willing to mostly dismiss the numbers he had last season.
And they say he came along in the second half.
Exactly, exactly.
I just don't know if I love... And this is such a unique situation. Maybe you can't be like, well, then what happens when, well, like, yeah, when we have some guy that we thought we lost for nothing because he had to go to the Russian military and then we end up getting him. Like, there's no comparable for this. So I guess maybe you can't go, well, when Danny's negotiating with Morgan Frost in a year, what does that look like? Well, different. But I just look at it and go, like, I don't love it.
Like you said, the situation is so weird.
Yes.
Like, you don't normally sign a guy who's played like 2.75 NHL games to a 2-year contract. Like, you just don't do that. That's not normal.
It's true.
So it's just weird. And I think for me, I'm less upset about this. Like, I'm actually glad he's getting a bunch of money. Good for him. I feel really bad for this dude. Like, I want him to like... Get your bag. As always, I want the players to make as much money as possible. What I'm annoyed about, again, is the NHL salary cap. We don't need to get into that on this show. That's a whole ass thing.
We do it all the time.
But, like, really, that's what I'm pissed off about. I'm pissed off that I have to consider that this guy's making $3 million a season and how it impacts the team in 2 years.
This salary,
because of this nonsensical, ridiculous salary cap that exists only to keep owners rich.
The salary cap exists for two reasons. One is to suppress salaries, and the second, intangible, put fans up against players, because fans would love players, right?
Yes.
Like, but when the
it's
guy
a really good
want,
point.
When the guy wants his money, suddenly all of a sudden you're on the owner's side,
right?
Because it hurts the team.
You're greedy, right? Exactly.
Like, it exists for two reasons: one tangible, one intangible. This is one of those intangibles.
I never heard it articulated that way, but you're 100% right.
That's exactly
because
it
absolutely
is.
turns fans into like fucking shills for rich people.
Exactly.
For extremely rich.
Spend,
obviously, players are wealthy too.
I spend more time on Cap Friendly than maybe any other website.
I don't want to be
on
there
the
ever.
Internet.
You know? I don't want to look at it.
It's one of the most useful tools in covering the sport.
No, you're absolutely right that like we should not be happy when a player takes less money than he's worth.
But it helps the thing you like
it
the
helps,
most.
It helps the team win, so therefore it's great. So in reality, you are cheering for owners to win out on a negotiation with players, when in reality, the players are way more worth cheering
for. They're the ones doing it.
Given they're the ones actually doing the thing.
The
owners are the dudes sitting up in the box doing absolutely nothing, chomping on popcorn.
They, in fact, do that hockey.
They do that hockey.
Now, what I will say about this is, and it's something I said to you on the elevator on the way up here, I am happy when a guy gets his money. Because, again, especially this fucking dude, like, Jesus, what has he been through?
Yeah.
That is not an emotion the Vegas Golden Knights operate with. It would be like, oh, you want six? Do you know what we can get for six? You know? Not you. Someone considerably better. And I just feel like to be great, you have to have a little bit more cutthroatness than this move indicates. But again, this move in a vac, like, it's so different than almost any other conceivable situation.
So here is the details that I have been able to gather. And obviously, I'll go into a lot more detail about this in the article.
It'll be up on PHLY, allphly.com
in probably a few hours. Hopefully, I'll be able to get it done in time. My understanding of the situation is that Ivan Fedotov, the bones of this extension were agreed to before he left Russia. He would not have come over if the Flyers were not willing to more or less handshake agreement and extension. Like, he was not going to go through all the bullshit and get out of his contract, you know, basically cancel the final year of a deal with a really good KHL team just to play three games, really two and a half, because two of them were in relief. One was a start. He wasn't going to do all that to come over to play three games and then go back to Russia and re-sign with another team. He was only going to come over if he was confident that they were close enough on an extension after the entry-level contract expired, which it does on July 1st. He was only going to come over if he was pretty sure they were going to agree to an extension that was okay with him. My understanding of what happened was that basically Fedotov's camp told the Flyers, look, he's making in USD money about $3 million to play goalie in Russia. If you want him over, he is not going to take a pay cut to come over. So the choice was not like negotiate better with Fedotov, so this is on Danny. The choice was either if you want to give Ivan Fedotov an extended look at the NHL level and find out what at long last you actually have in him, this is what you are going to have to pay him. Now, is it an overpay in comparison to comparable NHL goalies? Absolutely.
Yes.
100%, it is an objective overpay. Like, looking at the other goalies that have about this cap hit, like, we're looking at, like, Filip Gustavsson has a $3.75 million cap hit. He had played, like, 60-something games at the NHL level and looked pretty darn good doing it. Like, Alexander Georgiev, he had played a bunch of games at the NHL level, looked pretty good doing it when he signed a deal that was worth $3.4 million a year. Samuel Montembeau, same thing, $3.15. You know, that's a little bit less than Fedotov, and he was significantly more impressive than Fedotov. So is it an overpay based on comparables? Absolutely. However, and this is the key, it was not a choice between Danny negotiating better and getting Fedotov and Danny negotiating this deal and getting Fedotov. It was a choice between either you pay Fedotov at this price or around this price, or you don't get Fedotov. Now, if you want to make the argument, and I think this is a reasonable argument to make, if you want to make the argument that Danny should have looked at the situation and said, okay, you've been a good but not amazing KHL goalie. You had a year where you weren't that great, that we're agreeing is with Russ, but you're not young anymore. Maybe you're not worth that money. So sorry, Ivan, I'm glad we had this conversation, but we're not going to bring you over because we don't want to overpay you. If you think the Flyers should have said, sorry, I guess you're going to stay in the KHL. I guess you're going to stay in Russia, Ivan. That's fine. I think that's a reasonable stance to have. But if you wanted the Flyers to have any real look at Fedotov and to see what he is, this is what he was going to cost. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. And if you wanted that to happen, you're just going to have to accept that this is what it cost to get him out of Russia, because he could have gotten just as much by staying in Russia and not pissing off people in the KHL and not uprooting his entire life. Like, you were going to have to convince him to leave. This is what they had to pay to convince him to leave. Simple as that.
And I have, we'll never know, but I would like to know what it actually cost to get him out. Like, maybe his agent came up with that money. Maybe he came up. But it's not like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, we'll terminate your contract. Go ahead. Go pursue your dream. I very much doubt that that's the way that conversation went. Like, no. I would like to know how all of that. And now it's like, yeah, we got to make some up to you on the back end. Like, I bet you there's a little bit of that going on.
I'm sure there's backroom deals going on in Russia, to be sure. It's just, I don't know. If you would have been fine walking away because you were that focused on salary cap value over a 2-year period when the Flyers aren't even going to be competing anyway, because you just don't want to lose contract negotiations. Fine. Like, that's fair. The way the Flyers looked at it was, we know we are overpaying for Ivan Fedotov, but we were willing to overpay for Ivan Fedotov during a 2-year stretch when we are still rebuilding, before presumably Michkov will even be here. We're willing to overpay a little bit because we see the potential reward as really high, because we really like his upside. We want to see what we have in him. And we think that, you know, this could end up being a total bust. He could just stink and you have a too big contract on your books for 2 years. He could also plausibly be really good, and they think that's a possibility. And he might play like a $7 million a year goalie, and then it's a bargain, even if you lost the initial negotiation, because that was the only way to get him out of Russia in the first place.
I want my Ilya Sorokin, and maybe this is him.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
It could possibly be. Where they are in their timeline, it's not bad that they overpay one guy. Like, you can live with it.
It was a pretty unique situation.
It's such a unique situation, and where they are, like, yeah, this year and probably next year, not going to matter too much. We're not going to be trying to, oh, man, we could have had Leon Draisaitl, but we're overpaid. Like, I doubt that's where they're going to be, you know? So it's not the biggest deal. I just would love to know if you could call his bluff. One, can you even go back? Like, you can go back? Because he's a UFA.
Well, he hadn't even left yet when they made
I'm pretty sure they agreed on
something close to this prior.
Yeah, that he would not have even gotten on the plane.
Okay.
Like, this was not, and can you imagine, like, the bad blood that would have been created, not just for Fedotov, but for potentially Michkov?
I was going to say.
If you say to Fedotov in the midst of negotiations while he's still in Russia, yeah, we'll give you about $3 million a year, comes over, plays 3 games, and then you're like, ah, nah, you look like shit in those 3 games. Sorry, take it or leave it. It's $2 million a year. Then he gets pissed off and leaves and tells everybody in Russia the Flyers aren't to be trusted.
No, we are playing very delicately with the entire nation of Russia for the next few years.
That's like, if in this hypothetical, Kevin Hayes did have his fingerprints all over the situation.
Right, absolutely.
That is like international intrigue, Kevin Hayes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, that would have been, that would have been a lot of fun. I would like to know, like, say he wants to stay. I would like to know what he could have possibly got on the open market when I see Anthony Stolarz at 1.1.
Anthony Stolarz is going to get a considerable raise
this offseason. I just understand the uniqueness of this situation. But ultimately, do I love this contract? No. I understand why they did it. But I hope that it remains a singular event.
Just remember, you're not mad at the contract. You're mad at the salary cap.
Yeah,
that's important here.
Listen, that's part of the GM's job.
I know.
I want this, if this is a singular event because of the uniqueness of the situation, that's, you can live with that. That's fine. We'll get to see this guy for 2 years, figure out if he can play or not. I don't want this carrying over to other negotiations where it's like, well, you know, we really like Travis Konecny, so we're going to give him 9. Are you?
I don't think this was ever a situation where they had the kind of leverage to play hardball. It was basically, if you want Fedotov, this is what it's going to cost. If you don't want to pay that, that's cool, but we're just going to stay in Russia.
Yeah.
They decided they wanted Fedotov, so they paid it. That's really what it boils down to. And again, if you are the kind of person who is so laser focused on never losing a contract negotiation, then you can reasonably say this was a stupid contract. You should have just let him stay in Russia because maybe you don't think he's that good anyway. Fair. The Flyers wanted to see what they had in Fedotov, yeah. So they were willing to pay a bit more to see what they have in Fedotov.
And you, no one knows if they lost this yet. If he,
it's impossible to know.
No, if he is sick, if he is a lights out goaltender on a nightly basis next season, no one's talking about this contract being a loss. So, like, why don't we just chill and wait and see if he lost or not?
Damn it. We have them, but later. Yeah. No, this one, you don't want to chill. You want to get fired up for these for these Stanley Cup playoffs. They are underway. And if you're looking to maybe, there's plenty of hockey games every night. It's fun, exciting, but you want to get maybe a little action going. You got to do it with the Bet Park Sportsbook app. Get in the zone with the Bet Park Sportsbook app. Money is in the moments. What events are coming up? There's hockey every single night. Not just hockey. We have NBA playoffs underway. Oh, man, I bet everyone in Philly's loving the NBA playoffs right now.
I've heard they're and, bad.
Not mean, going great.
Baseball daily. It's one of the best
Baseball's
times.
Going much better.
Baseball going great. And listen, I'll tell you what's a real fun sweat, man. You bet on that NFL draft. It's not a bad time, I'll tell you.
Bill, I truly did not know that you can bet on the NFL draft, but I cannot think of anything that shocks me less.
Seriously. Of course, it's the NFL.
Of course you can bet on the NFL draft.
It only exists
what
to be bet on.
Bet on at this point?
But if you're going to do any of this, you got to do it with the Bet Park Sportsbook app because you can win big with all-day action. And if you win your first $10 bet at Bet Parks, you can earn $125 in sports bonus bets. You play for fun. You love to win. You bet. Download the app and play along with us. Must be 21 or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So before we go into non-Fedotov things, there are a couple other Fedotov related discussions I want to toss to the group. The first one is, and this is just a general question. Danny Briere said at exit interviews that he believed that the tandem for next year was going to be Arison Fedotov. Now we essentially have confirmation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Arison Fedotov. By the way, the other thing this absolutely does do, if you need any further confirmation, like Carter Hart ain't in the plans anymore.
No.
I don't know exactly how logistically that's going to end, but like whether he is put on some reserve list or whether he is just not offered
not
a qualifying offer and becomes an unrestricted free agent, like he is not part of the Flyers' present or future plans. Period. And that's just the reality. So the new normal now is trying to find the new answer and goal.
No,
because
that
it is very clearly not Carter Hart. That ship has sailed.
That is something I did want to get to. I'm glad you brought it up because, like, I know we all, like, we referenced it for over a year. Like, the black cloud hanging over the Carter Hart situation. Well, that shoe has dropped. And you might have to do some weird shit to figure out your goalie thing. And if it's overpay this guy for a couple of years, again, I get it in this one instance. And back off a little, you look at the big picture of the goalie situation. Yeah, something we thought we had solved ain't solved.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the opposite. So I do get that part as well.
Yeah, so Hart, I mean, look, we're obviously still going to talk about it because he was a prominent player for the Flyers for a long time. But I think this serves as close to final confirmation as you are going to get that they are now looking 2 years into the future and Carter Hart is not in those 2 years in that plan at all.
No.
So there's that. The question I want to ask you guys, though, is now that we know that the tandem is Arison Fedotov, how do we feel about it? Level of confidence in an Arison Fedotov pairing to start 2024-2025.
Level of interest... like 1 to 10, 9.5.
Okay.
Level of confidence. These guys are goaltenders wearing Flyers jerseys. Yeah. 5.5. I mean, like, and that's not just like, I think there's a chance it works out. It's just like less than 50%. It's goalies. I don't know
about that. I'm cautiously optimistic.
This is Philadelphia.
I understand. Here's the thing. It's not like we have no, like zero evidence whatsoever that Ivan Fedotov is at minimum, average goaltender. Like, I think that's pretty clear. Like, the KHL isn't.
Because I'm unsure.
Are you really?
I mean,
do you really think that someone could be very good in the KHL and be bad, like actively bad in the NHL?
I think it's worth remembering that KHL save percentages tend to be higher than NHL save percentages. Okay. So, like, I'm going to pull up in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to pull off Fedotov's stats. But even though his numbers in the KHL, and I'm not even counting last year was a weird year.
Yeah.
He was coming back from being, you know, stuck on an aircraft carrier for a year. I'm not going to ding him for that. But looking, for example, at his 2020-2021 season in the KHL, he played 26 games at a 925 save percentage.
Sorokin's last 2 years in the KHL.
Was going to ask.
40 games each year, 940 in 18-19, 935 in 19-20.
Well, so I'm looking at the rankings here in 2020-2021. Fedotov's 925 save percentage, it was good. Like, he was not a bad KHL goalie. It was also the 11th highest in the league.
So average. Like,
average, yes. Yeah. But we see a 925 save percentage.
Right.
And we see the year before he had a 931 save percentage, and we think, oh my God. Like, this dude is incredible.
It's a little different.
It's a little different in the KHL because there are just fewer goals scored, primarily because, like, two-thirds, if not three-quarters of the teams are just trash.
Yeah, they're bad.
Like, it's all, like, four or five teams that have all the good players. The rest of the teams stink. So you will have games, like, weeks where you will get three shutouts because you're playing against teams that have no one. Yeah. Like, the team that Michkov was on. It was basically Michkov and a bunch of dudes.
Right.
Those are the other teams in the league. So I don't want people to think that Fedotov was one of the best KHL goalies in the KHL by the numbers. He wasn't. He was a good, somewhere probably between average and good. Mm-hmm. And then the part.
And he had a playoff that was awesome.
The moment when he put himself on the map was he killed it for Russia in the Olympics, like objectively killed it for them, and then killed it for his team in the playoffs to win that, to help their team win what essentially is the Stanley Cup of the KHL. Mm-hmm. That was the moment where it was like, oh, we might have something. This guy, let's try to sign him. And they did. And then obviously everything went to shit with the military service and whatnot. But I am not sure whether he will be an average NHL goalie, because if he's an average KHL goalie, that probably means he's a below average NHL goalie. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. I'm not guaranteeing anything. But I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic that the two of them together as a tandem, no clear overall number one, could be a solid. And again, if they had just gotten even like below average goaltending from their backup over the stretch of those eight games that they lost,
if
we're talking about the playoffs right now, like I don't really think either of these guys is ever going to be one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. I would very much like a steady average over the course of an entire season tandem of goaltenders. That would be enough for me to be like, all right.
I would like to see, like, if Fedotov is just good enough that you can fucking play him once a week so that Sam Harrison can be on a normal schedule and we can find out about him, like, that's beneficial. Like, money aside on the Fedotov contract, just for the conversation of how do we find out about these goalies?
You gotta play him.
Playing Harrison 30 games in a row or whatever it is,
that was nuts,
is not a way to find out if he's any good
or not. And the Flyers know that.
Yes, and so if this just allows you to find out if Harrison's any good, like, that's beneficial to this team.
But by the same token, they could have done that by going out and signing Anthony Stolarz to a contract that probably, in my guess is, and it won't look too dissimilar to this.
This
probably has a couple more years,
maybe
be a little bit higher cap it, but it'll probably be in that same range. Like, I was figuring he was going to get something in like the high threes. So you could have went that route. You didn't have to go with Fedotov.
This does allow you to figure out about a guy.
Yeah.
Like, you do get to see Fedotov.
Could be a boat.
I think that there is. I'm not blaming the Flyers for doing this. I personally, from a human perspective, I love the fact they're giving Fedotov a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that they may have let sentimentality in a little bit here, just in the sense of like we just so badly want to see what he is. We think it's unfair the way he was treated. He missed his chance. And we there's an element of like, I just want to see it. Like, I want to see it here. I want to know if like we have this secret amazing goalie and we're missing out on a chance because of like the fact that Russia decided to invade a sovereign nation. Like, I do think there was a little bit of sentimentality from Briere and the Flyers front office that slipped in here. It still might pan out. They might be right in being like, yeah, like Fedotov might be great. But I do think that, like, for example, if you can, if we find out in 2 months that Anthony Stolar signs a 3-year contract with a $3.75 million year cap hit, I think it's reasonable then to be like, ugh, like maybe that was a better door number two option.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not just like sunk cost though. Like, what if it's like an informed gamble? Like,
it is absolutely, you know, an informed what I mean? Gamble.
Like, yeah. They have scouts watching this guy.
True.
I'm sure they had like Dillaball watch tape or something. Like, I don't know what they do.
No, I'm sure.
You know
they
better
do
than me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I seriously doubt that they were just like, ah, let's see what he's got. Like, they probably are like, we've seen X, Y, and Z.
We've
and
seen
so
enough.
We think he can be something here.
But there is an element too with that. And this is the flip side of scouting. Because sometimes there's something like familiarity bias. Hmm. Because you watch a guy, you fall in love with them. Like, fair. Look at Flyers fans with prospects. It's like, oh my God, every single Flyers prospect is going to be the greatest player ever. Because, and it's not even people that just like look at the numbers. It's people that have watched the games. Yeah. Because they watch Denver Barkey rack up 100 points in a London Knights uniform on a stacked Knights team in junior hockey. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, this guy's going to be the next Braden Point. So there is, and like, look, people employed by the Flyers are almost certainly, in almost every case, more hockey knowledgeable than fans. Like, that they're getting paid,
I mean, not
to
me,
do it.
But yeah,
well, not you,
point.
But, you know, almost every person. Yeah. Point being is that even people who are intelligent and who know what they're talking about, they can be fooled by familiarity bias. And I think it's possible that in this case, they may have gotten hit with a little familiarity bias where you fall in love with a guy, you don't have the chance to get him, and then now you have the chance to get him. It's like, well, screw the expenses. Let's just get him.
I love when Charlie does a thing where he's basically convinced me out of my point of view.
Yeah.
And now comes back around and gives you the case against me. Like, no, I'm on board now.
Now you're on board.
And now you're like, actually, they fucked up. And I know that's not what you're saying, but it's just very funny to me. Listen, the Flyers, they're giving Ivan Fedotov a shot here. You know what I want you to give a shot? Olipop.
Hey. Olipop.
Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, prebiotics, and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. Olipop is a new kind of soda. It's only got 2 to 5 grams of sugar per can and 9 grams of fiber in every can. I want you, next time you pick up a regular soft drink, turn that thing around. Look how much soda's in it. It's going to blow your, or how much sugar is in it. It's going to blow your freaking mind when you see Olipop at only 2 to 5 grams of sugar per can. Prebiotic fiber is the food source for the beneficial probiotic bacteria in your gut and Olipop, in your gut. And Olipop has 9 grams of prebiotic fiber in every can that can help support your digestive health. And it's available online and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including the most recent launch at Wawa. 2 flavors available at Wawa right now, the root beer and the strawberry vanilla. I'm going to tell you right now, you make some margaritas with that strawberry vanilla, people are going to love it. You can also get it at Wawa. But I'm telling you, go to drinkolipop.com. Use code PHLY20 for 20% off your next order, Olipop. Discount only applies to one-time orders, not subscriptions. You can also get it at Amazon, as well as retailers like Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff. Drink that Olipop, baby. It's pretty damn good, if I do say so myself. Before we move off the goalie topic, we have a super chat. Okay, who do we have up?
It's from Steve. Love the show, guys. Wanted to ask, any chance they make this Fedotov move if Hart is in charge? I think it's unlikely, especially given the emergence of Erickson, which was going to happen regardless of what happened with Hart, and the cost it was going to be to get Fedotov out of Russia, which we're now seeing, like, that's how much it would cost. The only way I could have seen them doing it is if they had, and this is a world where Carter Hart was not involved at all, was fully cleared, if they would have decided, completely independent of all of that, that the right move for the rebuild would have been to trade Carter Hart for futures.
And
then I could have seen them doing it.
Considering what Hart might have been in line to get on a long-term contract, because he's an RFA, his contract is up, and I believe it's his last year team controlled and he'd be a UFA.
I think that's the way it would have been.
I think that's what it would.
I think so.
Like, he was making, what, four on his last deal?
Yeah.
Or three, it nine, was like seven, three, nine.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, with the 7-9 at the end because of his number.
Man, you would have had to make like a pretty expensive long-term commitment.
Absolutely.
To a guy who, listen, I thought was a number one NHL goaltender. Was he a franchise? We're going to win a cup with this guy? Like, yeah, I mean, if he was the Avalanche goalie.
If you have a good team.
If he was the Avalanche goalie, sure, you could win the cup with him.
He had only shown flashes of being game-changingly good.
I personally don't think you should ever give a goalie term. So
fair.
You don't think maybe like 9 years, $51 million is a good idea to give a goalie?
No, not these right. days,
Before
William.
We move on from the goalie position, just there was this thing going around the other day about Igor Zvragin, and he was going to move from whatever shit team he was on to SKA. And I mostly just want to say this so I can say, pick it up, let's go.
I love it.
Does that mean like anything? He would have like then been loaned to Sochi, I heard. Does this matter at all?
I don't know what any of this means.
Okay.
Let Charlie answer.
Which goalie are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about Zvragin.
Honestly, I haven't dived too deep into it. I think this came off of that Hockey News Hub guy who, like, I gather he's based in Canada, but apparently is just obsessed with everything NHL related.
I thought he was based in Russia because he's always tweeting about Russia.
I think he's based in Canada. I'm guessing he's, like, of Russian descent. That is not something that in the immediate aftermath of the season I was particularly interested in digging into. My assumption, though, is that Zvragin will end up changing teams because
he's good.
Well, it's not even that. The team that he's on, like the organization, there is no KHL affiliate. Like he can't go. If he stays in that organization, he cannot go past the VHL, which is essentially like the AHL of Russian hockey. Yeah. So if he wants to get a shot playing KHL hockey, he's ultimately going to have to change teams.
I just thought.
So I think that'll probably happen eventually.
The thing I saw was Scott was going to pick him up and then loan him to Sochi, and that would just be interesting for him and Mitch.
Yeah, then they'd be on the same team. Not necessarily because
they could bring him back to Siska or whatever it is.
You would hope that after Michkov did what he did this year, that Rottenberg, the guy who runs the big team, will not be an obstinate asshole and will actually play Michkov on the big team, which is what he deserves to be playing.
I'm just hoping they hate him and go, fuck it, go ahead, go.
Yeah.
You know?
Get rid of this guy.
Wouldn't that be nice? I do want to talk about, it's a conversation we've been meaning to have since the end of the year. It's really based around Cam Atkinson, but I think the Johansson stuff's pretty interesting too. Guys who we don't expect maybe to be here next year. And like, obviously Eric Johnson, I mean, he's going to retire or like whatever. Mark Stahl, he got a paycheck to come hang out with his buddy Torts for a year. And Breer straight up
said in the exit interview that Denis Gurianov and Mark Stahl will almost certainly not be back. He did not mention Eric Johnson. However, Eric Johnson did not even stay for the exit interviews the day after the regular season ended. So I feel like that strongly hints that he will not be re-signing either.
Thanks, guys. Good times.
That's awesome. I really appreciate it, dude. He's like, I'm not doing this shit.
I mean, the last person that did that, and this is actually very timely, the last person I can remember who did that was Jake Voracek. Jake Voracek in the 2021 season, he had more or less already been told by Fletcher that, like, hey, we're probably going to move you. I believe Jake had like a newborn baby over in the Czech Republic that he hadn't yet seen. And he got permission knowing that like he was done with the Flyers to basically what I had heard during that period. And Jake later confirmed it during that interview blitz he did a few months ago when he was back in town. He basically was on a flight back to the Czech Republic, like an hour and a half after the final buzzer.
I'm obsessed.
Like
with
he
him.
Just got the fuck out of Dodge.
He's one of my favorite
His
people.
Just like, attitude
world.
Of everything. I just really, I wish
we should all.
I just wish they could have built around those two players and made a good fucking.
Would have been nice.
All right, but no. Congrats to Jake. He's ending his career. Yeah, obviously,
he officially announced his retirement today, which is why it's timely.
It sucks under the circumstances where it's like his contract is, you know, in Arizona/Utah.
Well, it expires this year.
It expires.
That's why he can now officially retire.
And now he came out today. He had like 12 or 14 concussions over the course of his
career. The amount he must have like just not reported is wild.
Like, I can think of when he got Cronwald that time and he had the, like, mummy hands. I can't think of another time where he got, like, laid the fuck out. And it's, like, 12 to 14?
It doesn't take that much.
For a guy who, like, we all... I loved Jake.
Yeah.
I consider him a perimeter player. Mm. Like, what do these guys actually deal with in terms of brain... Like, oh, yeah. Brain injuries.
Real bad.
We might... I know we know better now, but this is a shit. This is shit that happened like a couple of years ago.
Well, the fact that he estimated 12 concussions, because apparently that's what he spoke to in the story, and we know that he didn't miss time 12 times.
He
for
never missed games.
Well, it just means that he was keeping track in his head of like, oh, that's probably a concussion. Whatever, I ain't gonna tell anybody.
Yeah,
that's the like. He played 77, 82 games a year. Like, he never missed time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So Gary
also would not advise players to do that.
Please, if you have a brain injury, take a day off.
Yeah.
You know, maybe two. Maybe two.
Or maybe seven or 12 or 14. Yeah. However long it takes for your brain to start feeling normal.
See a medical professional not employed by your employer.
Yeah, see a medical. Yeah, exactly. That's a problem.
Or just see a medical professional at all. Because my guess is that Jake would probably get his bell rung,
you're right,
be sitting on the bench and be like, well, I feel loopy. And then the next morning be like, I feel okay. I guess I'm not going to tell them.
Yeah, probably.
So Stahl Johnson, that's obvious. Gary Onuf, I mean, they wanted to get a look at him.
They did not.
Really, it was just about moving on from another guy.
Yeah.
I think the way they looked at that trade was always the guy I will equate it to is Ville Leino. In that, like, there is a world where, you know, Jeff Carter never gets hurt and Ville Leino never gets a chance to have his breakout playoff run. You have him in the mix. And maybe if a couple things happen and he gets a shot and then he impresses dramatically, then he's part of this. He got a couple games. It's not like they didn't give him any shot.
Yeah.
He didn't show anything especially amazing. And it just didn't break in the way that allowed him to get a big look. He also didn't exactly bang the door down in terms of demanding a bigger look. And it's just probably not in the cards. He's probably going to go back to Russia, I would guess.
The times we saw him, I was like, oh, there might be something there. But not to the point of like, oh, well, we got to move on from Noah Cates. And really... where else was he going to play? You know, like it was in a third guy on your third line or fourth line role. And there's one thing the Flyers are set on. It's those dudes.
Yeah. Oh, we got so like, many dudes.
Yeah, like there's plenty of those dudes.
And also Gurionov's not young anymore.
No, he's not.
This is not like a prospect. No. This is a guy who you're like, hey, maybe he like finds something. He didn't find something. And now you wave goodbye to
him. It was just like, that was one of the more... There's five guys we're going to talk about. He's in the middle of the interesting scale.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I got to tell you about Trumark Financial Credit Union. You've heard me talk, man. I don't know a damn thing about money. So when we got Trumark as a sponsor, I said I have to not sound like an idiot and figure out what's a credit union and what is the difference between a credit union and a bank.
That's money.
And it's actually pretty eye-opening. When you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. With Trumark, you get better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options with all the same digital tools and tech that you've come to expect from your banking partner. Trumark has local roots, maybe the most important part of this. They're headquartered in Fort Washington with 24 branches in the Philly area. They serve our community and our people right here at home. And becoming a member of a credit union has so many benefits over being a customer at a bank. Almost seems like a no-brainer. So head to Trumark.com/PHLY to learn more or find a branch near you. That's Trumark.com/PHLY. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Oh, wow. Big playoff news that just popped out. Vancouver Canucks goalie Thatcher Demko out for game two.
Out.
Questionable for the rest of the series. He got injured in game one, I guess.
Rough.
He was a little banged up heading in, and I guess that's the way she goes. All right.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Nashville's going to win that series, but it certainly gives them a better chance.
Sure does.
Maybe you can head to Bet Parks, try to take advantage before the books figure it out.
Take that.
So those are the dudes who are somewhat interesting, the two defensemen and Gurionov. Atkinson and Johansson are both interesting cases to me. The Ryan Johansson thing, Danny Briere said, like, I don't know if he can play hockey anymore. Which is interesting.
I don't know
because he was playing hockey right up until the day he got traded to the Flyers.
I don't know if he wants to play hockey anymore,
but he ain't gonna give up his money. Ooh. And you only get 2/3 when you get bought out.
Yep.
So he's hurt. He's damn hurt. You can't buy out a guy who's injured. Is that just how this is going to play out? He's going to be LTIR'd for a year, probably.
I'm fine with that, honestly. Who cares?
It does seem like it's such a
or an injury settlement
it's
or
such
something.
Such a weird situation because there's so many things at play here. Number one, the fact that he was playing up until the trade and now suddenly he just can't play anymore. It's extremely suspicious.
Yes.
However, there is another side of this where the argument is that how many players are playing through things that in theory could be career ending.
If you were to see
they
a doctor.
Just, that they just push through because they're like, well, I like playing hockey. And then suddenly when like they get traded to a team that clearly doesn't want them and they get waived and no one claims them, then maybe it pops in their head like, well, why even friggin' bother?
Yeah.
Like that could be what it is where, because my understanding is Johansson broached the subject with the Flyers of like, hey, I'm willing to let bygones be bygones with John Tortorella and try to make this work if you guys give me a real shot. And the Flyers were like, nah, we're assigning you to the AHL. We don't want you with this team. And then at some point, he got a doctor to tell them, oh, no, I can't play. So the timing is very suspicious, but I do think it's plausible. Like, I don't think, let me put it this way. I don't think he just is paying a doctor to lie and falsify medical records and say that, hey, I have a serious shoulder injury. But I do think it's possible that he's been playing through some serious stuff. And now that he has come to the realization that no one in the NHL actually wants him, at least on his current contract, that he will just be like, well, instead of getting a buyout and playing a year on a league minimum deal, I will just take what's left of my money, nurse my injuries, and retire.
I mean, what are the odds that what happened to Ryan Ellis happened here? Like, he probably had a little something going on in the entire midsection of his body when he was playing in Nashville.
I think the Ryan Ellis thing is different because I know there will always be conspiracy theorists who will make this argument. I do not think that Ryan Ellis showed up to Philadelphia, decided he didn't want to play in Philly, and then it's like, oh, by the way, I'm injured.
I'm
I can't play.
I'm not saying
anymore.
That. No, I'm saying the players
there
played
was something a little
things,
the matter.
Probably.
And then it went real wrong.
And then it went wrong.
Right. That's I think that's what I'm saying. Probably a little something.
Yes.
And like you're saying with Johansson, there's probably a little something.
I just think with Johansson, more likely it's not that it got worse. What got worse was the realization that no one wants me.
Fractured spleen.
Also, simply put, if you are dealing with a chronic soreness, injury, serious sort of thing that you can play through, you know what's easier to do? Dealing with it when you're flying in a nice, cushy, first-class seat than you are bouncing around on a fucking bus in the AHL. That's gonna make your desire to play through that considerably less. Yeah. And honestly, in this situation, like, listen, you signed a guaranteed contract. Good for you. This is one of them. I'm not going to be mad at the dude. Someone signed him to this contract.
Yeah.
But it does seem like he's got a little bit of dog in him and not the good kind.
Not the good kind.
No, like
the kind
dick.
That makes John Tortorella not like you.
Yeah. There's something up with this.
If you listen to Colorado fans when they made this trade, they're like, good fucking riddance.
Yeah, they were like, thank God. Yeah. I think that this ends in one of two ways. It either ends with
Ellis Island.
No, it either ends with him spending the rest of his time with the Flyers on long-term injured reserve because he continues to have doctors look at him and say he can't play, his career's over. Or it ends with him passing a physical and then the Flyers buying him out this summer. I think it's one of those two things.
Guess what he's never going to do?
Wear a Flyers
jersey. Pass a physical.
Yeah. Guess what he's never going to do? Wear a Flyers jersey.
No, he's never going to wear a Flyers jersey. And the last dude who is the most interesting of all of these is Cam Atkinson.
Samuel.
Man, it's just like time and place. I wish it could have.
I know. It would have been nice.
He seemed like a cool dude, and having him around to kind of be the, I know we've used this derogatorily in the past, but the professional best friend, kind of the Tortorella interpreter, if you will. Like all of that could have been beneficial. My man's done.
Yeah, he's done.
I hope he's not, but I do think regardless of whether he's done or whether he has one last year in him where he can finish out his NHL career on his terms, I don't think it's going to happen in Philadelphia.
It would be surprising. How do they navigate this? Is this a buyout situation? At 50%, would even anyone take that contract? I guess you can go 50 and then 50 of the 50 with another team if you throw in some... if you throw in a pick or something, they do have a ton of picks. How do they get out of this?
I guess the cap is going up. That said, and this is kind of the comparison I'll make, James Van Riemsdyk looked significantly less cooked last year than Cam Atkinson did this year.
$1 million.
And JVR got a one-year, $1 million contract. So the idea that even if you retain 50% of Cam Atkinson's salary, that someone is going to view him as a $2.6 million a year player, I find it highly unlikely. I would think if you're going to retain 50%, I would think you would probably have to toss in a draft pick. And why would you do that? Why are we going to rehash the Shane Gostisbehere thing when you're trying to, you don't need cap space that badly to the point where you want to be giving up assets to gain cap space. You could just buy him out.
And also the vibe from his comments at the end of the season felt very definitive, and all of those are maybe situations. Maybe you can find a trade partner, maybe you can get rid of him. Atkinson's comments in the exit interviews felt very much like somebody who had been told
already
you're not going to be here next
year.
That's a buyout, in my opinion.
At the very least, it seemed like it was strongly hinted to him that he was no longer in the plan. I had to guess, I think if we're looking at the three guys who are more or less dead weight on their books right now, which are Atkinson, Johansson, Cal Peterson, I would guess Atkinson gets bought out.
Yeah.
Peterson stays. He gets sent down to the minors. They get the $1 million in cap relief for sending him down. He stays throughout the length of his contract, and Johansson is on LTIR for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that's
what I think is going to be the way. So I think there will be one buyout, and I would guess it would be Atkinson.
Yeah.
That's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Before we get out of here, let me tell you about our friends at Coors Light, baby. Oh, yeah.
Time to chill.
It's time to chill. You know, maybe you're overreacting to the Flyers during a rebuild, overpaying their backup goalie. Perhaps you're freaking out about that. I know. When I showed up, I was. Charlie talked me down and then reconvinced me of my initial stance, which is really, if you're not a diehard, this guy's the best. But we're talking about Coors Light right now. I know sometimes I just got to take a step back and chill, man. I was not in a great mood when I got here, and I had to take a step back and chill. But there's no better way to chill than with an ice cold Coors Light. I'm really looking forward to one after this show. So whether you're freaking out about overpaying goaltenders, how they're going to deal with these injured guys, whatever it might be, you need to find the Blue Mountains in your fridge and enjoy a beer as cold as the Rockies. Because when everything surrounding your favorite hockey team is on fire, and when the fuck isn't it? Sometimes you just gotta chill. When you choose to rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, this one last thing here.
Mailbag
question of the day. I have been, I'm revamping how we do mailbag stuff, and I think I'm just going to do one fan question per day.
I think that's good.
To kind of wrap up the show. This one, it's from 12 days ago. 7, 8, I don't know. It's from Jeff P. Do you guys think Denver Barkey could be in the 2024 mix? Small, but had a great third year in juniors. Small is an understatement.
Yeah.
This dude is child. Kelly's size. You could pick this dude up and throw him. I'm pretty sure.
I think I have been told by people, in the Flyers organization, by no less than four, either on the record or off the record, over the last year about Denver Barkey. In some way or another, he looks like he's 12.
He looks like a small child.
Yes.
I think we know the answer to this one. Next year for Denver Barkey, I mean, chemistry's a hell of a thing, but I wouldn't recommend that for him. Next year for Denver Barkey, I seriously doubt it. But I do want to talk a little bit about how this team might look somewhat different. I mean, we know the goalie situation. Right. That's going to be what it is. And I guess Fedotov and Ersson is a big change from Hart Ersson, with Hart getting 2/3 of the starts.
And Ersson wasn't even a lock going into that. I think we thought it was likely, but he had to beat out Sandstrom and Peterson.
Yeah.
And Peterson. And Camp last year.
But we talked about the D-men who might have a shot, Ronnie Adderds and the Zamula situation where he's not, well, he's not waiver exempt anymore. Him, Jennings, and
Andre.
Emil Andre,
their top prospect down there.
Those guys could be in the mix on defense. They said Tuimala, probably another year away.
Yeah.
Maybe we see him earlier than, you know, next season, but okay. Not going to be here to start, most likely. It's kind of feel like outside of the goaltending position, they're running it back.
Yeah, besides the subtractions that we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atkinson's gone. Mm-hmm. Then the question is, do they make any big hockey trades? You know, we talked about the possibility of Joel Farabee.
The Farabee one.
Farabee could be a guy who, if they make a big move, maybe he's the guy they're more willing to, you know, give up in a player for player deal. There's always going to be chatter around Scott Laughton, of course. If this is when someone steps up and makes the kind of offer the Flyers deem to be worthy of giving up that guy, there's always going to be talk about Ristolainen as well. I know the injury probably makes him less attractive to teams, but I'm sure they had conversations in the lead up to the deadline for teams who want a guy like Ristolainen.
Hey, if not now, how about in a couple of months? Yeah. Something like that.
Which could change the complexion of the defense. I would not be shocked if they make a cup, maybe an add or two. You know, they might maybe add another defenseman in the vein of Mark Stahl, where he's a vet who can help some of the kids. They very much like the impact they thought that Stahl had in the room on guys like Zamula and York. They might want to bring in another guy like that.
Good.
I think if they trade Laughton, they will absolutely probably look to in some way get another center.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting the sense that while they believe that Noah Cates can play center, they think he's better at wing, which I think they're right. And if that's the case, if you trade Laughton, suddenly you have Couturier, Frost, and Poehling. You need another center.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked if they go out and maybe they sign like, and I haven't dove into the free agency pool, but sign like a Hathaway type, you know, to be like that type of, you know, sub $3 million a year. Maybe they can pick up a center that somebody's trying to trade away because they're trying to clear up cap space. You pick him up and then suddenly he's your 3C for a year. I would not be shocked if they go that route, especially if Laughton is ultimately traded.
Makes
and
sense.
I don't think it's like, I don't know if I would bet on Laughton being traded, but I certainly don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
I think Laughton and Risto are the two most likely trade candidates. Farabee would be interesting. I'm not saying I want it or don't. It's just like when Danny says we're not ready to give up on young assets, I'm like, well,
yeah, but
what is the player for player trade then that like benefits the Flyers?
I mean, you're getting another youngish player.
Yeah, like if he's part of the package for Trevor Zegras, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that happens this summer. Like, I'm not expecting Farabee to be traded. It could happen, but like, I'm somewhat expecting at least one of Laughton and Risto out of here.
Okay. When a guy like Friedman starts talking about things, though, it makes me think that there's a little bit of a hey, just so you know, if you want to make a call on this guy.
I think that's exactly what it is that, you know, Friedman talks to people in the organization. Mm-hmm. And if Danny Briere wants to get it out there that like, hey, if you like Joel Farabee, we ain't going to
make a call. We ain't going
to slam the phone if you call me about him. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get moved.
Yeah.
Scott Laughton was very much available last summer. Mm-hmm. Morgan Frost was very much available last summer. Both those guys came back. But I do think that based on who has been reporting the Farabee stuff, that strikes me as an intentional leak to let other teams know that, like, if you're interested in this guy, we're listening. We're not giving him away, but we're listening.
Right.
Getting back to Denver Barkey for a second, though, I cannot envision a scenario where he makes his team out of camp.
No.
I think they believe what they would love for Barkey is for him to have another huge year in the OHL, make the World Juniors team, kill it there, and then enter camp in 2025 with some serious career momentum when he turns pro. I don't know if he would be ready right off the bat even then, but I think he would have a much better chance physically to be ready than he is now.
Yeah, as a noted enjoyer of the small hockey players, I would not want someone that small making my hockey. It would just be terrible for
him. He's always going to be small, though.
Yeah, it's but just, not this
he needs
small.
To be a little bit more.
Yes, bulky. He needs like snacks and the weight room.
He needs some snacks.
And
get
maybe
this guy some snacks.
Right, exactly. He's like you said, he looks like he's a child. Like, he's entirely too small. to play in the NHL.
He's listed on Elite Prospects, 5'9", 154. I mean, I don't know how updated that is, but it's probably from his draft day. People, yeah, it's probably like combine-ish stats.
154 is not very big.
I also wouldn't bet on Oliver Bonk making the team out of camp next
year.
That
seems unlikely also.
I know some people are convincing themselves that that could happen. It would take a monster camp from Oliver Bonk to convince them. I think they are very much planning for him to spend one more year in junior.
Let's just let those two be on the Mitchkov timeline.
And just to... Barkey doesn't turn 19 for four more days, so he's not AHL eligible either.
No, he's definitely not AHL eligible. I mean, he's young. He was young for his draft.
Exactly. Like, he's not 19 yet.
Yeah.
So it's... We're going to have to wait on these guys. I hate waiting, but it is what it is. This is a rebuild. It's what we have to do. We have Ivan Fedotov then until then, fam.
Sure do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
All right, that is all the time we have for you today on PHLY Flyers. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for hanging out. And if you're wondering how you can best support us, it's by hitting that subscribe button right there. It's the off season, and 2 days in a row already, we've gone over an hour. If you're wondering, oh, what are they going to talk about all summer? Plenty. Plenty. So all you have to do is subscribe right here.
So many things.
Make sure you set those reminders. We're going to be live every day this week at 1:00. That's our summer schedule going forward until otherwise noted. And become a diehard. That's the other best way to support us. It's really important that you do that.
I'll have my deep dive Fedotov article out sometime today, whether it's in a couple hours or whether it's later in the evening. It'll break down everything that I've heard and everything that I believe is going to play out with the Flyers goalie situation over the next year to 2 years. So check that out. Become a diehard.
It will be the definitive Ivan Fedotov article. All right, that's it. My name is Bill Matz. For Charlie O'Connor and for Kelly Hinkle, you have a great week, Philly. Y'all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.